It's so good to be in worship with all of you this morning. Now, today we have the Currys with us. Some of you know the Currys personally, and they are missionaries who we support. We get to hear from them and the amazing work that they're doing. But tell us a little bit about you so that everybody's okay. On board.
Some of you are new, so I'll kind of back up a bit. My name is Lori Curry, and this is Steve Curry. We have two boys. Andrew's 19 at Indiana Wesleyan University, and Daniel is 16 with us on furlough for the year. We actually lived in San Jose for over 15 years and worshipped here in this church for 15 years. Our kids came home here when they're both adopted from South Korea. They came here to this church. We're baptized here. So this is our home. It's fun to come back and see faces. It's my only complaint is I can't talk with all of you enough. So I keep feeling like I'm turning my back on one of you to go talk with somebody else. That's my only complaint. But it's great to be here. We're looking forward to sharing with you a little bit of what you've been a part of in Papua New Guinea, truly. Everything that happens in Papua New Guinea, you've been a part of. And we just want to say thank you to Kim to give us a little chance to give you a little glimmer of what life is like in Papua New Guinea for the Papua New Guineans and for us. So thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And we're just thrilled. We're so excited. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we enter this time of worship, we pray that you would be present with us. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive your presence. And may we worship you and glorify you, God of our creation, and the God who comes to us. Lord God, we come to you this morning aware of our own weakness and aware that you are a God who is all-powerful and able to do beyond what we can ask or think. We think of that song we sang this morning, How Great Thou Art. And we come to you humbly aware of that reality as we lift up so many concerns to you, Lord, that are on our hearts. But first, we want to praise you for who you are and thank you that you called us to prayer. And that's why we do it. You said, pray without ceasing. You said that when we cast our cares on you, you are faithful and you do care for us. So it's with that confidence that we come to you this morning as a church, as your body. And Lord, we're grateful that the Currys are with us this morning. And we just ask for your blessing upon them as they bring us your word. I pray that you'd bless their ministry, you'd encourage their hearts, and give them a sense of your Holy Spirit, just flooding them with power and energy and insight and direction, Lord. And I thank you so much that they're here. And just continue to bless all that they do in your name. It's such an amazing ministry. And this morning we had several requests to pray for Carol McCune because we all love him so much. And we asked, Lord, that you would bless him, that you'd heal him, that you would make him aware of the love that's in this congregation for him. He hasn't been feeling too well recently at all. And we're aware that his birthday is coming, Lord. And may we shower him with cards and remind him through our love for him, of your love for him. Just bless him this morning, and may you feel the overflow of our prayers. And Lord, we're grateful for the outcome of the Presbytery meeting yesterday. What an ordeal it has been. And we're glad to be on the other side of things and be able to move forward and do ministry in your name. So with Maggie, we pray for this church as we go forward, that you might empower us, that you would teach us how to serve as your people, and you would also teach us how to be filled with your Spirit so that we can be faithful to you, Lord. We need you so badly. We cannot do even our own faith on our own, so we ask for your infilling and your grace and your mercy upon us. And with Peggy, Lord, we pray for Father Jim, who's getting a respiratory infection. Lord, I just pray for healing for him, for peace in his mind, that you would continue to be with Peggy as she stands by, and Dave and their whole family, Lord. I pray for peace, mostly for Jim, and a sense of calm and a sense of your presence, Lord. He knows you and he loves you. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for Emmy. And we just lift up Avery, her grandson, who broke a bone in his hand. And we pray that he wouldn't have to have surgery, Lord. We pray that you'd mend those bones together exactly the way they're supposed to be, and that you would keep him from that trauma. Pray for Sandy's sister-in-law, Chris, who has eye problems and is worried about going blind, Lord. We think about that, Lord, and we just pray that you would allow her to be able to be healed of this and not have impaired vision. With Lenny, Lord, for her brother-in-law who has cancer, we're grateful, Lord, for him. And we just ask for, after the cancer surgery, we're glad that that's over. And we just pray for a good response to that treatment. And with Steve, Lord, we lift up our hearts with him, Lord, because we understand how difficult it is to lose somebody that you love. And we all have, most of us anyway. And I just pray that you'd be with him as he grieves her loss, Lord, and that you would encourage him and that he would know that because you live, Lord, we shall live also. And that living this life is so meaningful because you live it with us every day. With Betty Pangborn, we ask prayers. We lift up prayers for Kimberly, who's having knee surgery. We pray for complete and total healing there, Lord. And we thank you for Betty's family and just pray that she'd be a witness to them and be able to love them the way that you do. And we pray with Ruth for Carol and her mom who fell, and for Russ, her dad, who has a broken back, Lord. And I just ask that you would heal him and encourage him. Encourage them both, Lord, as both of them are not feeling well right now. And we ask that you would lift up their spirits. And with Tim, and we pray for brother-in-law John and his sister Joyce. John's been going through so much medical difficulty. Lord, we pray for healing for him and for Joyce. Lord, pray and encourage her heart as she stands by and cares for him. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Bless our church. Bless this community. May we be faithful in sharing your love with all who come in these doors, but also in doing outreach to touch those in our community and in our lives who you've put there for a purpose, that we might share your good news and glory, and that so that more people can know you and glorify your name. Knowing, Lord, that you're faithful now, we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning again. We are really happy to be here. We are excited to be able to share a bit about what God is doing in Papua New Guinea. The reason we can go is because of churches like you and individuals like you that pray for us and support us financially so that we can go and do what God has called us in Papua New Guinea. We are working to eradicate Bible poverty in Papua New Guinea by getting the scriptures translated into the heart languages of over 830 languages in Papua New Guinea. Everybody needs the Bible in their heart language to be able to understand God's love. We have a short little video to kind of explain that.
For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
Your pages are full of words, God's words, but for 200 million people around the world, their pages are blank.
Before we had the word of God, the gate of heaven was closed.
I did things that I ought not to have done, but it's because of the darkness I lived in.
If God doesn't know my language, it leaves me absolutely hopeless.
We worshipped the idols. We thought they had life.
We didn't know that God was stronger than the evil one.
We did not know God.
There is hope. One verse at a time, God's word is coming to life in another language. And another, and another. One verse can change a nation, a village, a family, a life.
If God is in my heart, my perspectives in life will be changed. My perspective towards my family, towards my work, towards eternity will be changed. Bible translation is just more than a book. Bible translation transforms lives.
Amanganagano na magenkwifwe kandiga tretere obulamu obuya.
The best thing about having God's word in your own language is that God becomes your own father. God identifies with you. You become his child. You are not a stranger. You are not a foreigner. God becomes your God.
You cannot really compare the moment you hear the love of God. It's really precious. It will touch my heart. It'll shake my heart.
Anto asibiro mondo giyude ngima kendo giyude mahumbo.
The transforming power of the Word of God is the only thing that will truly change a life. When people encounter God through His Word in their very own language, the change they experience can impact communities, cities, and nations. Communicating in each person's own language is the key to reaching the deepest places of each person's heart. Before translations are completed, audio Bibles, films, and story translations can make a dramatic difference in a person's life while translations are taking place. Let's work together to see that everyone has the Word of God in their heart language.
I think most of us would agree that the Scriptures are pretty foundational to our relationship with God and growing closer to Him. When we joined Wycliffe Bible Translators, we were asking them where would they best be able to use our skill sets, and Papua New Guinea kept coming up. So we now serve in Papua New Guinea, which is an island nation north of Australia. There are over 830-ish distinct languages in Papua New Guinea. On Easter Sunday, we'll be dedicating our 200th New Testament, which is quite exciting, and you are a part of that. But there's a lot more left to do. We have lived in Papua New Guinea since 2003 with some, you know, furloughs or home assignments back on this side. When we left for Papua New Guinea, Daniel was entering kindergarten that next year. And right now, Daniel is 16, going on 17. Andrew is 19. And Daniel's a junior in high school. Andrew's a freshman at Indiana Wesleyan University in Indiana. Enjoying the winters in Indiana. Don't know what the boy was thinking. In Papua New Guinea, I support Bible translation by actually educating the children. We have a school in Papua New Guinea that has approximately 250 students in the primary, middle school, and high school. Without an education, a way to educate the children, they were finding that people were either homeschooling, which meant one of the parents was pretty much homeschooling full-time, or people were going back to their home countries to get their children able to go to college or university when they graduate. There's about 250 students. For the last most of the years I've been there, I've taught first grade. In first grade, we have a mix of students. The school is there to primarily educate the missionary children so they can go back to their passport countries, but we also have a good number of Papua New Guineans. The expats come from America and Japan and Korea, Canada, Finland, Germany, Switzerland, and Papua New Guinea. The school staff is a great group of people as well. They're a great group of people to work with. We're always in need for new teachers because every 2, 3, 4 years, teachers are leaving to go on furlough for 6 months to a year and coming back. So right now, this is the first time ever, they postponed starting school in January because they didn't have enough teachers. They've cut back what they can teach because we don't have enough teachers to cover it. And right now for next year, this gets me, next year when we go back, they're actually short on, sorry, didn't know this was going to happen, a third grade teacher, a fourth grade teacher, a fifth grade teacher, and a sixth grade teacher, and all of our special ed. So there's a prayer for you. We need a lot of people going to Papua New Guinea and teaching, because without those classes, the real debate this year was, do we just shut down the fourth grade and tell all the fourth grade parents they have to homeschool? So they didn't do that. But we really do have a grand need for translators and support workers in Papua New Guinea.
When we are in Papua New Guinea, I support translators, literacy workers, lots of other missionaries, by doing software development and support. My job's not quite as photogenic as Lori's. We thought about giving you a whole bunch of photos of me at my desk, but it doesn't quite work. The organization is large. We have 240 employees and somewhere between 400 and 500 supported missionaries like ourselves. Any group that big needs software to keep it organized, keep it operating smoothly. Without that, many things just simply stop happening. I am in the Communications and Technical Services Department. We will at least attempt to repair and support just about any technology that you bring to us. Primarily, though, we focus on computers, networking, software, radios, and solar power systems, all of which are critical to keeping the work going in the country and a major part of our effort there. I do get out of my office now and then. I had an opportunity during this term to go to a crusade, a week-long Christmas crusade. It's fairly common there to have a week of meetings at Christmas time. It's very much a community celebration. And so I went to this. I spoke twice in Tokpisin, which made it extra challenging, not speaking in my own language. It was a great experience. It was a lot of fun to be part of this team of pastors and musicians and missionaries who all worked on this crusade together. We saw a lot of fruit, a lot of very real benefits. It's very common in Papua New Guinea that the previous religions, for the most part, were all animistic and magic, sorcery-based, and ancestor worship. It's very common to mix those together with Christianity, and many people felt a call by God to stop practicing the old practices they were still mixing in with their Christianity. So there was a lot of cleansing, a lot of burning of paraphernalia related to the magic and the sorcery that they would have done in the past. There were also quite a few baptisms at the end of the week. It was a great celebration. These were mostly people who had already been Christians some months and had gone through a training program in this group. They don't do a quick, you know, came to Jesus, baptized tomorrow. They choose to do a long series there. Even weeks afterwards, as I was back at home, I kept hearing reports from people in the village area that they were going out to neighboring markets and neighboring villages and the major commercial hub nearby, preaching, telling people about the good news, seeing a lot of healings, a lot of wonderful things happening.
There are many commonalities between the Israelites and ourselves and Papua New Guineans. King Hezekiah stands kind of above a lot of the people in his day as far as remembering God even when many of the people around him didn't, and trusting God even when it was taking great risk, and humbling himself before God, and then praying fervently to God for things. Those are great keys for all of us to for all of us to work on and pursue. But you need to know God before you can remember him and pray to him. And for many people around the world, God is a foreigner. That quote in that, we hear that over and over again from people, that God's a foreigner. He didn't really understand us until he spoke our language. So they have a hard time understanding who God is if it isn't in their heart language. The following video is about transformation in one of the language groups in Papua New Guinea.
In the Fordoba worldview, men are the kingpins. They're the big shots here. And the women are there to serve men. They have women in sort of a different category. Men are like real people, and then there's women.
Symbolic of this worldview is how families have lived traditionally, men living in the huge longhouse and women living with their children in the surrounding huts. However, when Neil and team were translating the creation story, a new perspective on women began to emerge.
Adam said, "She's bone of my bone, she's flesh of my flesh. She was made out of me." Well, I'll put her right there on the same level as Adam. When we translated that, they were just amazed. Wow. Wow. So woman was made out of man. And I think it's because it flew in the face of what they believed. It said our notion was incorrect. It puts woman up there as fully human, just like Adam.
Along with the mother tongue scriptures, another key element began to elevate the level of women in the eyes of the Fotopa. It revolved around the Andersons, the only family in the village living in the same hut.
So that's when I began to realize that they were watching me and studying us all the time, how we parented our children, how we interacted as husband and wife, living right there in the middle of the village. It was not just the word of God, But it was, you might say, the incarnational fact that we are indwelt with Christ. And we are indwelt with Christ as a married couple and as a family. And that has a powerful influence on any people and any culture is when they see things that work and work well.
Though the Fotopah believers were the pioneers in this transformation, valuing women as fully human and living together as a family, over time, many of the other men in the village chose to live with their families as well.
These videos are pretty fun for us because we actually would walk around Ukarumpa with the Andersons. So it's kind of neat. I mean, they really are real people who we actually know, so it's kind of cool. This next video clip, we decided to go with a lot of video clips because you can just see so much of the people and the area in them better than you can when I'm just telling you there are bamboo trees. That doesn't do quite as well. This next clip is a short clip out of a much longer documentary, so I'm going to give you a little bit of the backstory. There was a man who, when he was born, was totally rejected by his family at birth, and then they kind of brought him back into the village and kept him alive, but he was never really fully accepted. That's kind of the backstory to this little clip.
He was often teased and taunted by other kids in the village. Everyone knew Yomode's story, that he was never really loved or wanted. Yomode grew up to be a very angry and violent man. He often stirred up fights in the village. Some years later, he walked up to Neil and said matter-of-factly, "I've changed my name to Michael." "That's a good start," said Neil. Now, there was an open-door policy in the Bible house where Neil and the Fotopah team worked. Anyone was allowed to come in and observe what Bible translation was all about. Although Yomode, now Michael, had never shown any interest, this day he was strangely drawn to the small building. When he walked in, everyone was shocked and a little uneasy, though they hid it well. Michael sat down, never making eye contact with anyone, looking to the center of the table with an emotionless stare. The men continued their translation in 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul was writing tender, emotive words to the believers. "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you, because we love you so much." Michael, now inwardly in turmoil, continued to stare down at the big round table, never saying a word. This went on for about a week. Michael came each day in utter silence. One day, Awiyami Adi looked right at him from across the table. "Michael, we know your story," he said boldly. "You were rejected and stuffed into a bark bag, left to die outside the village." "I know someone else," continued Awiyami Adi, "that was rejected and taken outside a village to die." Then he continued to share all that Christ had done, of the new birth in Jesus, as the Holy Spirit seemed to permeate the room. In his own private way, Michael looked up for the first time as if to say, "I truly understand."
And then to see him turn into a loving and kind and considerate person, like, where does this come from? This power doesn't come from humans.
The entire village was profoundly impacted by this unlikely transformation. Michael even joined the Bible translation team. In the course of time, the little team in the Bible house had translated a number of books of the Bible, focusing initially on the ones that are easier to translate, as is common in translation work. For some reason, the Fotopah team was anxious to do James next, so they came to Neil and asked him. James was a harder book, and there were others to do first, but Neil finally agreed.
And I tell you, they fell in love with the book of James. I just love the book of James. Somewhere toward the end, I think at the end, they came and they said, "Now we've finished James, we're going to come and do Adres, puzzled. I said, you're going to do what? Well, a whole bunch of us are going to go to Andres. I said, Andres? Yeah, we're going to take the gospel to the villages over there, Guaragadono, and we're going to be gone for about 10 days, and a whole bunch of us are going to... Oh, finally. You're going to do outreach. Yes, we're going to do Andres.
With a few copies of the Book of James in hand, a team of believers began their long trek through the jungle to the Fotopah villages of Wataga and Dono.
When they get back to the village, you know, I kind of ask them, I said, well, what happened? God really answered our prayers. A lot of people were saved. Lots of other people that had backslidden, they got slid back to where they're supposed to be. And some people that were sick got healed, and we did a lot of counseling and all this and all that, and they were just so excited and like little.
It's wonderful to watch the Holy Spirit as He pursues people, and He uses the translation process and the results of the translation to draw them to Himself and to move them on their own to take steps to go on outreach and to change themselves. We encourage you to pray about what part you might play in this. If you have any interest in going yourselves, if you want to go be a teacher at our school, if you have any interest, there are literally thousands of jobs in the Bible translation movement, and there's openings in almost all of them. Even a snowplow driver in the tropics, we could put you to work grading the dirt road. So if you have any interest in going, if you're interested in praying, we have a lot of handouts on our table, and we can get you in touch with some regular information flowing from Wycliffe about prayer. We ourselves, like every member of Wycliffe, are financially supported by the gifts people send to Wycliffe on our behalf. That is what we receive. There's no salary. There's no assured income. It's called a faith mission for a reason. Before we can return to Papua New Guinea, we are quite short this term. We need to raise in another $1,200 in monthly pledges of support, $1,200 every month to sustain us on the field. Our intent is to be there in June, July, so that we can start the school year for both Lori and Daniel at the beginning. We're still waiting to see if we'll be able to do that. We trust we can. God's always faithfully provided it in some means ever since we started this over a decade ago. If you are interested in doing or thinking about doing a one-time donation, please talk to us. There's a very short form we'd prefer that you fill out that would designate the funds for our field support, which is really where we need the help the most. Otherwise, it just goes into our monthly expenses, which we also have. But the greatest need right now is for the field support. So,
on that same front, if you can just make sure that we have your current email addresses, because some of the prayer updates are starting to bounce. So if you've changed your email address, if you could let us know that. And physical addresses as well. We'll be hopefully doing another prayer card before we leave in June, and those go out in the real mail. So if your address has changed, just let us know that as well. With that, we will be out there between services and even after the next hour of classes. And if you have any questions for us, we'd love to answer them. We've got stuff out there to take a look at. But basically, we really want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for the support you've been, both prayerfully and financially for all of these years. Thanks. We love you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us and who went to the cross for us and who rose victorious from the dead for us, be with you, and may you know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.